So, first of all, good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Golden Goose first half results. I will make a quick introduction about the strategy and our actual main focuses. Then I will leave, as always, the floor to Paolo, that he will drive you through the first half results, 2021. So, starting, I will focus on main 4 points. The first one is the brand has been along this first half, keep on strengthening our brand positioning. You might have seen on our social channels or standard press the big event that we just held in Venice the last Monday. That was absolutely the beginning of a long journey that will keep on strengthening the brand on top of the incredible execution in delivering a great business already all over the world. Then, second point related to the execution of the direct-to-consumer strategy, where we've been, of course, following the agenda. We've been working on the whole omnichannel experience, so all the direct channels, the digital channel, and everything in relation and focusing to the customer journey. All this in respect of another very important appointment that we take several months ago. You should remember when we told you that we were just hired the former ESG director from Moncler in order to define the ESG agenda on Golden Goose. Federica, our manager, is doing a great job. For the moment, she's absolutely respecting the timeline, and we are absolutely sure to deliver the agenda in time, as we promised. And then, all this to remember you that it's good to look at the future in a positive way, to keep on investing for a company that is growing, as Paolo will tell you later, but it's always very important to be down to earth, to always be flexible in order to adapt the cost structure to any eventual macro event that it might happen in the future, same as we have been doing and proving in the last 2 years, remembering that we are really solid in any plan we execute, no matter what. Thank you so much for your time, and of course, very open for any question after Paolo. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Silvio, for the update. And now let's go through the key financial messages of these Q2 earnings. In the following slides, we will clearly see that, as stated during the roadshow presentation held in May, Golden Goose has a history of growth, profitability, and cash generation. I'm proud to say that during the first 6 months of this 2021, we delivered a solid growth both in terms of top line and EBITDA, a significant profitability in line with our expectation and a strong cash generation. Even more important, we are growing not only with respect to 2020, but also if compared to 2019. All geographies are growing with respect to 2020 and 2019, driven by North America that is doubling the turnover. Also, all channels are positive, all above 50% with respect to last year. The final result is a decrease in our leverage profile, totally in line with the guidance we provided a couple of months ago. Now, let's go more in detail into our financial. I'm on page 5. Everything is going in the right direction, with different speed by geography, but progressively back to pre-COVID levels. I will start with March result we commented in May this year, in which we delivered 11% of growth in terms of revenues and a plus 2% in terms of EBITDA, despite the persistence of COVID-19, with on average 12% of store closed, pretty much the same number of store closed in Q1 2020. Adding Q2 results this year, in the first 6 months, we recorded 167 million of turnover, plus 53% if compared to last year, with an adjusted EBITDA at 57 million, increasing by 51%. All these thanks to an extraordinary Q2, with revenues equal to 87 million, up 133% versus last year and +8% versus Q1, and with an EBITDA at 28 million, up 177% versus last year and +5% as compared to Q1. In terms of geographies, we confirm our consolidated balanced international presence with 60% of our business made outside Europe. While in terms of channel distribution, DTC, direct to consumer, represents now 53% of our global turnover, thanks to a 55% of growth if compared to the same period last year. As you may know, the base of comparison in Q2 was, let me say, easy, with 32% of stores closed last year from April to June, while in Q3 they represented only 1%. Even with this more challenged base of comparison, the first two months of Q3 are strongly above last year with a solid +18% of growth both in July and August. Thanks to this, on a year-to-date basis, in August, we are trending at +40%, perfectly in line with our expectations. Before going more in detail in our first half numbers, let me spend a couple of minutes on the trend versus 2019, a year not impacted by the pandemic. Let's flip to page six. Thanks to digital and retail expansion, to a very healthy wholesale customer base, and to a progressive increase of organic growth, we are above 2019 figures, both in terms of revenues and EBITDA. Net turnover, as you can see on the left, on an LTM basis, is equal to 324 million in June 2021, up 23% as compared to 219 end of year, and +48% if compared with the first half 2019 LTM data, with positive trends in all channels. In fact, retail is up 11%, wholesale 17%, while digital is booming with a +149%. We are over-performing 2019 full year even in terms of EBITDA, that reached 107 million on a LTM basis, up 16% versus 2019. As you can see at page seven, our EBITDA margin is stable at 33%, thanks to a very low operating leverage and is perfectly in line with our guidance. Net turnover, as already anticipated, is equal to 167 million euro, up 53% versus same period last year. On a LTM basis, we reach an impressive 324 million, up 23% versus 2020 and 24% versus 2019. This impressive result is driven by all geographies and all channels. Before going more in detail on it, let's go through the profit and loss. Net margin is equal to 64.1%, 40 basis points above last year, thanks to a favorable channel mix and our full price sales or no discount policy. Selling and distribution expenses increased by 12 million, up 42%, and represent 25% of the turnover, 100 basis points better than last year. They are driven by store network expansion, digital sales expansion, and higher logistic costs, the latter impacted by COVID and by the shift towards a DTC distribution. G&A grew by 5.3 million, +44%, driven by investment in the organization and information technology to drive and to help the growth. They represent now 13% of the total turnover, 100 basis points better than last year. We have started to invest in marketing again, consistently with one of the pillars of our strategy. In fact, we spent 7 million, 4.2 million more than last year in order to be ready to take on opportunities arising from the next 18 months. Bottom line, EBIT is equal to 38 million, 140 basis points better than last year, while EBITDA, as said before, is equal to 55.3 million, representing 33% of the total turnover, perfectly in line with our guidance. We confirm our international DNA with 60% of the business made outside Europe. North America is driving the growth with 53 million of sales in 6 months, plus 104% versus last year and up 83% versus 2019. It represents 32% of the total business with an impressive acceleration in DTC, plus 54% from Q1 to Q2. APAC recorded 44 million of turnover, plus 30% versus last year and plus 22% versus 2019, representing 26% of the total turnover, with a solid 14% of growth in DTC from Q1 to Q2. EMEA revenues are equal to 67 million, plus 41% versus last year and plus 26% versus 2019, with an acceleration of 49% in DTC from Q1 to Q2. In terms of channel contribution, the growth in revenues is almost equally driven by digital, plus 51%, retail, plus 57%, and wholesale, plus 50%. I'm on page 9. As you can see, every channel is growing 50% or more, and for this reason, channel mix is stable if compared with last year. As said before, digital is continuing its outstanding performance with a 51% of growth versus last year and a 300% of growth versus same period 2019. It represents 12% of the total business. Retail is up 57% versus 2020 and 43% versus 2019, thanks to the combination of organic growth and store network expansion. All areas are above 2020 results, while as compared to 2019, America and APAC have already recovered the gap, while EMEA is in good progression to do the same in the following quarters. Retail represents 39% of the total business from 38% of same period last year. Also, wholesale is growing by 50%, reaping the full benefit of the strategic decision taken in 2020 aimed at reducing shipments to our partners since the beginning of the pandemic. The channel is very healthy, confirmed by the comparison with 2019, up 21%. Both net working capital and CapEx are under control, helping the company to generate cash during these first 6 months. I'm on page 10. Trade working capital decreased by 6 million as compared to the same period last year, as a combination of 10 million of additional receivables, 5 million of additional inventory, and 21 million of additional trade payables. This dynamic, of course, is fully explained by the acceleration of the business. Trade receivables are under control thanks to a strict credit policy supported by a credit insurance. Inventory level is low, benefiting from the non-seasonal peculiarity of our product, while payables are totally consistent with the days of payment agreed with our suppliers in 2019. Trade working capital, calculated as a percentage of last 12 months net revenues, is equal to 6%, even better than our guidance of 9-11% that is consistent with past normalized performances of 2018 and 2019. On the same chart, down on the left, an overview of our capital expenditure. We spent 9.2 million of CapEx, of which 5.7 million for retail expansion, 2.3 for HQ facility, mainly related to the new headquarters in Milan, and 1.1 related to digital and information technology. All in all, capital expenditure is in line with our plan. And here we go with the cash flow development I'm on page 11. Cash conversion is even above the expectation thanks to the combination of solid EBITDA, trade working capital dynamic, and CapEx. As you can immediately see, if you look at the chart down on the page, LTM operating cash flow is equal to 81 million, up 11 million if compared to the operating cash flow recorded in 2020. Cash conversion is 76%, perfectly in line with the 79% reached in 2020, while in Q1 this year it was 64%. 55-60% of cash conversion still remains our long-term expected guidance. In the chart on top of this, we try to summarize our cash flow dynamic. It's a long bridge. Let's focus on the two black border numbers. Operating cash flow equal to 35.9 million, provides 67% of cash conversion, and adjusted free cash flow equal to 11 million, that represents the amount of cash we produce after paying taxes and financial interest. Bottom line, we significantly reduced the financial risk, deleveraging from 5.2 to 4.6 in 6 months. Cash and cash equivalent increased by 11 million during the first 6 months, while gross debt has increased by 22 million only due to IFRS 16 liabilities. LTM adjusted EBITDA and pro forma LTM adjusted EBITDA increased to 107 and 118 million, providing the decrease of the net leverage ratio. Last important information, as already anticipated during the previous conference call, by the end of Q3, we will repay also the remaining 25 million of RCF that are still drawn at the end of June. The presentation is finished. Thank you, everyone. And now we can start the Q&A session.
For our Q&A, if you would like to ask a question, please press star followed by one on your telephone keypad. And if you have joined us online, you can press the flag icon. When preparing to ask your question, please ensure your phone is unmuted locally. Our first question comes from Marco Gironi from T. Rowe Price. Marco, your line is now open.
Hi, good afternoon, guys. I have a few, but hopefully they'll be quick ones. On the revenue side, could you comment on how much the travel restrictions sort of globally have affected you or are still affecting you? I know I'm looking a bit into Q3 here, but I'd like to understand that. Within that, could you comment again on revenue? How's your South Korea business doing? Is that being particularly impacted or has it bounced back already? A couple on margin. I was just wondering, as you still go back to normal levels of marketing and advertising, and also as your channel mix shifts to direct to consumer, is it fair to think that your marketing expenditure will be around 4-5% of revenue, and your sales and distribution costs around the 25% mark? Could you comment on those kind of margin impacts? Thanks.
Thank you, Marco. Answering to your first question, of course, travel restrictions are impacted our revenues in sense that they are changing the provenance of these revenues. I mean that Europe is suffering the lack of international tourism, I mean Americans and Chinese. America is booming. Americans stay in America, then this country, of course, is benefiting from this restriction. The same we can say for China. Then, all in all, we are totally in line with the expectation we provided once we made the budget 6 months ago. It was not easy to forecast the budget for this COVID year, but at the moment, all in all, we are perfectly in line, even a little bit above that expectation.
While in regard of marketing, I will give you the answer in 2 points. First, the great news is that I don't see any change in the mix of spending and marketing for the future, because what's fantastic today is that Clothing Goods is already a company that is perfectly balanced in spending in digital marketing and then non-digital marketing. So as you said, and I agree with you, it's going to be exactly as you represented, the company for sure in the next coming years will drive expenses into 4 to 5%, but it's going to be, you know, part of the strategy, so it's not going to be something unforeseen or out of the strategy. The strategy has been always to elevate the brand and to consolidate the business in order to avoid any push on the sales without a consistent growth on the brand, same as we have been doing the last 8 years, so nothing new, but for sure, you know, there's going to be an increase, and we're going to cover it without any dilution on EBITDA and the actual performances of the company.
And on sales and distribution?
Selling and distribution are the most variable part of our cost, because are related to all the costs on the store network, retail store network, and costs related to digital. Then are the costs related to direct to consumer. They increased less than our the increase of revenues, but you know, being having a low operating leverage, as we were able last year to be resilient in a decline in terms of sales, during this first half we have this increase for the same reason, because 55% of our total costs are variable. Then what expect for the future? Of course, an increase less than proportionally of with respect to an increase of sales, of course.
Okay, now understood. So still some operating leverage. My last one is purely information. Are you able to split the second half of last year EBITDA between third quarter and fourth quarter, just to help us create some better expectations for the next two quarters? If you could give us two quarters, 3Q and 4Q last year, EBITDA, please. Revenue and EBITDA better, but at least EBITDA.
Okay, you're asking if we can split the EBITDA of Q1 and Q2 last year?
No,
we have
the
EBITDA, Q3 and Q4 2020. Yes, we can provide you with the number. I don't have this number here with me, but we can provide you with.
Okay. Well, if we can get it by the end of the call, that'd be great. Otherwise, we'll do it by email.
Our next question comes from Michael Chakarjan from Franklin Templeton. Michael, your line is now open.
Hi, thank you for the call. I had a few questions. Firstly, just to clarify, on your historical 1H20, on your are you the EBITDA number you have, does that is that deducting leases, or is it not? And then also on the cash flow, why are we seeing such a big jump in the interest expense between 1H20 and 2H, and how much of it is linked to leases? And then the next one is, you talked about rent renegotiations. It looks like your rents come down quite a lot. Are these rent concessions, are they just temporary? Is this more of a longer term trend? Anything you can give us color to get an idea of, you know, how we should be thinking of the rent levels going forward? Then the next one is, apologies if you mentioned it on the last call, but could you talk a bit more about your store opening pipeline and goals of, like, how many stores are you looking to do on a year basis? And then lastly, you talk about America booming. Could you just go into a bit more details why, and what are the reasons behind it? Thanks.
Okay, there's a lot of questions. I'll try to remember also the questions. Let's start from the first one. The data related to the EBITDA are consistent with IFRS application, that it means that the EBITDA is not including lease payments, both in 2021 and in 2020. in 20, and this is the first question. The second one, you're right, we have, if we sum all the financial interest on total are equal to 25 million in the first half, as a combination of delta FX effect, a positive FX effect of 1.5 million, amortizing cost of 11 million, I will explain you soon what is what does it means. IFRS 16 effect, then the part of lease that according to IFRS 16 are under this row, is, the amount is 2.2 million. And then at the end, the real financial interest on the loan amounts at 13.2 million. The amortizing cost, the 11.2 million of cost we paid in the first half are an extraordinary cost and is the difference between the amount we paid for repaying the senior loan once we issued the bond, then we paid back 470 million, while the book value of the loan was 449 because of the amortizing cost.
And then on page 20, you talk about your, on the cash flow side, you say the 1H21, your lease payment was 2.3 million. What was it for 1H20?
Sorry, let me go on page 20. Okay, it was 2.6.
So I remember on the roadshow you said your leases on a pro forma basis for 2020 was 19 million. I'm having trouble then reconciling that you know, that number with what we're seeing on a half year basis.
No, okay, but 19 million is the effect on the entire year, and as you know, IFRS 16 application means that part of the lease are under financial interest, in this case 2.2 million in one semester, it means 4.5, I have to check in the full year, while the difference is under the depreciation of the right of use. Then the total amount of the total amount this year is 12.2 million if I add the two components, or in other words, the amount of leases we paid in the first semester is equal to 12.2 million this year. Last year, same date, it was 9 million.
Gotcha. Okay. Thanks. And then on your rent renegotiations, are they, you know, how much concessions are you getting? Are they just temporary? Can these continue? Just, you know, give us any idea of how we should be thinking about your rent, your rent levels going forward.
Well, good question. Last year, we benefited from 2.2 million of rent negotiation. But if you remember, at the same time, we were able to negotiate for the future, for the first 1 year, 1 year and a half, a shift towards a variable rent. Then in this case, this year, you don't see clearly a saving because rent of several parts of the store has become variable, temporary variable, due to COVID uncertainty.
And then how long is it going to be temporary, going to be variable? How long is that?
It depends. Not 100% of the rent now are variable, of course. How long? It depends, but consider in some cases 12 months, then all the 2021, the majority of which, and in other cases 18 months starting from January 2021, then by mid of next year they will end. Of course, we are here to, as Silvio was saying, we are monitoring the situation because if the pandemic still continues, we will start to negotiate again.
Gotcha. Then on your store opening pipeline, and why the reasons why the America is seeing such strong growth.
In the first 6 months, we increased our DOS by 21 stores, but it doesn't mean that we opened 21 stores because we took over 11 stores from our Chinese distributor in January this year, and we opened 10 stores during the first half. Our guidance is to open between 20 and 25 stores per year, up to 250 stores by 2024 on average. And at the moment, we confirm this guidance. In terms of American booming, what we are seeing that in this country is a combination of a strong brand awareness, because American was growing even before COVID. Of course, the trend of this country is negatively impacted in some areas, slightly negative. In some areas like New York or California, the more touristic area, we are over 2019, but the increase is lower than other areas like the central part of the U.S., in which we work 100% with locals. In this moment, locals are there because they cannot travel, and this is one of the reasons of this booming. But it's not the only reason. The other is, like I was saying before, is a strong brand awareness that we have in this country.
Gotcha. Thank you.
You're welcome.
As a reminder, to ask any further questions, please press star followed by one or the flag icon. Our next question comes from Nicholas Remy from Assured Investment Management. Nicholas, your line is now open.
Hi, congrats for the good quarter. Just a question, have you seen or do you expect any supply chain or sourcing issues?
Sorry, could you please say it again?
Do you expect or have you seen any sourcing issues or supply chain issues this quarter, or are you expecting anything in Q3?
Problem related to sourcing, no. Pressure related to cost for the future, yes.
And you think you will manage to pass the cost increase fully to end customers, right?
Hello, this is Silvio. So according to what Paolo is saying, absolutely yes, it's not going to be a problem because same as all our industry, so the luxury industry has been doing the last 40 months. So to increase prices to final consumers is something that we never done for the moment just because, you know, we didn't have, you know, it was not necessary. Okay, so as far as this cost will compare, because again, for the moment, this is not a matter for us because we have clear contracts that is saying that the costs are planned and foreseen. In the moment it's going to happen, we will absolutely recover in that way. So we will increase the prices. So very simple, like all the industry.
We have no further questions. I want to hand back to the Golden Goose team for any final comments.
No major comment from our side. We really thank every one of you, and again, always available for any further.